Okay, good morning, everybody. Can you guys hear me out there? Good morning. Happy Mother's Day once again. Mothers, I do want to give you permission. Yes, you can look in your bag and rifle through it and look at all the goodies. And if you would like to eat your chocolate candy bar during the message, you have permission to do that. That's great. And you don't have to share with your kids or your husband either, okay? So it's okay. I would love to look out and see mothers relaxing, eating chocolate, and enjoying the message. Revelation, the last book in the Bible, last chapter, these last couple weeks will be probably the easiest Sundays to find the passage in your Bible that you'll ever have. Last book of the Bible, last chapter of the Bible. Last week we got to enjoy, just kind of relish the first five verses, thinking about heaven. Thank you, Tim. God used Tim to help us just think about heaven, think about what things are going to be like for eternity for those who believe. It was wonderful. Who actually went home and tried to schedule that Sunday school picnic? I tried. My calendar wouldn't let me type in the year, so I had to go like this. And I got to 2200 and I stopped, sorry. There was a hand back there. Did you get it scheduled? Oh, he tried. Okay, well, at least we tried. All right, thank you for that. Now we're really getting to the very end of the book of Revelation. There's going to be just a bunch of different subjects. It's kind of closing remarks, and there's a lot of closing remarks. Not only into the book of Revelation, this is the closing to the book of the Word of God, the Bible. We are reading the very end. We're going to look at the verses 6 to 15 today. Next Sunday, then we'll finish the very last verses next Sunday and maybe do a little bit of a review of some things that we've talked about. So we are in Revelation chapter 22. We'll be starting in verse 6. I just want to say amen to Tim's prayer there, and we're going to get right into this. Verse 6, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. All right. This verse tells us a lot about the book of Revelation. What is the nature of the book of Revelation? How does this work? What's the point of it? Well, this verse kind of tells us, doesn't it? God, the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, he sent an angel to do something. And what was the point? What was the angel coming to do? Well, to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Who are the bondservants? Well, he's showing the people, anyone really who would read this and take it to heart, I think this would be the believers. The bondservants would be those who listen, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to his word. He wants to show those people, if you're willing to listen, if you believe in me, he's saying, I'm going to show you what's going to happen soon, what must soon take place. And that's the nature of what's going on here. So in the book of Revelation, many things happen, but in general, we have an angel who came to John, and he's going to give him things that he would eventually write down and share with the church to many different people. And his bondservant, it's kind of interesting to think about in the passage today. I think we are going to actually be mentioned a couple times in the passage. Are we not right there? Did God send the angel to John to tell the church so that we could know what will soon take place? Yes, God had us in mind. Did he know that we would be sitting right here in Yakima, Washington, talking about this today on Mother's Day? While people are eating chocolate in the pew? He knew that would happen. Who would have thought that would happen? He knew. So he wants us to know these things. These are not hidden things. God is not playing tricks on us. He wants his people to know what's going on. Notice it says, the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets. The prophets, we're talking about in the Bible, the Old Testament. The prophets there. God spoke to men, they wrote those words down, and that became part of God's word. What God is saying here, or what's being said here, is that the book of Revelation is on the same level as the prophets. Okay, God spoke to them, God's word, God spoke to John, and it's God's word as well. we're talking about the same level of stuff here, and that's a pretty big deal. John has a very high calling here, doesn't he? God is actually giving him information that will be written down and will be at the same level of the prophets of the Old Testament, and that's a big deal. If we look really closely at that, I think if we look right at those words, the God of the spirits of the prophets, we don't have time to dig into that, but those words, to a lot of you, do they sound familiar about other phrases that are in the Bible of how the word of God is written, the spirit of the prophets, and how he wrote those things? I think if we think a lot about that, and I have, I think he is definitely talking about the book of Revelation, but I think we can extend that to the entire Bible. And that's important to know because throughout this whole passage, he's going to be talking about God's word, specifically the book of Revelation. But I think we actually can extend that to the entire Bible as well, because the God, the spirit of the prophets, is the one who had the whole thing written. And I think we can say that. Specifically, we're talking about Revelation, but a lot of times in this passage, we're going to talk about the whole Bible as well. And I think it's good to do that the way it's written. He said to me, these words are faithful and true. Faithful and true. It's important to know we're talking about Revelation, and I believe the whole Bible here as well. The words that God gives are faithful and true. They will happen. The book of Revelation says many things are going to happen on this earth. Wild things that you would never dream of. They will happen because God is faithful and true. The words that come from his mouth, they will happen. What he says is true. They are faithful and true. The whole book, the whole Bible, written by him, is faithful and true. These words are true. It's very important to know that. There's a lot of information out there these days. You want to find out other information apart from the Bible about their various things? Anything you can imagine is out there, right? All sorts of information on that, and the rest. You can get opinions on anything you want. You can add your own opinion now. Usually, you read something, and don't you have to add your opinion, whether you liked it or disliked it, right? And then tell them, and they might like it or dislike it, and then we talk about it, and everyone discusses it. And not only do you have 1,000 opinions, but you have 10,000 different other opinions, and everyone's liking and disliking what they disliked because they liked what they disliked, and then you got to discuss that, and do you like the fact that they didn't dislike it? I don't know. Kind of confusing out there. Folks, God's word. It is faithful and true. Stick with it. Read it. Believe it. It will happen. And you know what? Whether you like or dislike it, doesn't change a single thing. Isn't that great? I love that. I love that God's word is so, it's like a rock and it will not change. And everything else seems to change constantly, very fast these days. These words are faithful and true. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That's Jesus there. We're going to see in this passage, an angel's talking, John's talking, Jesus is talking. It's going to jump around. It's closing remarks, and we're jumping to a lot of different subjects here really fast. That's Jesus there. Behold, I am coming quickly. Behold means wake up, everybody. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying. You got to listen to this. That's what behold kind of means. I am coming quickly. Coming quickly. He wants us to know this. Remember, that's the point of Revelation. It says right there to let his bondservants know. What's one of the big things that's going to happen soon? Jesus is coming quickly. I hope you all know that. I hope you're all living your lives in light of that. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Again, this book is mentioned, specifically Revelation, but I think we can extend that to the entire Bible here. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That means you need to read it. You need to know what it says. You need to abide by it. You need to live by it. Keep the words that are in it. Some sort of outcome in your life should come from when you read this book because it is the word of God. It's God talking to you. Nothing less than that. And that should be powerful. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Many blessings are in the book of Revelation. One commentary went this far, and it's hard for me to even believe this, but one commentary, I trust this person, says The book of Revelation has more blessings than any other book of the Bible. Specific blessings. You're blessed if you do this. Blessed are they who do this. That's a lot of blessings. In a book that I usually think of as, you know, kind of weird and scary stuff, and but there's a lot of blessings there as well. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. In these verses here, I'd like to ask you two questions. I'd like to ask the church here two questions, and I want you to yell out the answer, okay? Here's the first question. God sent his angels to show his bondservants the things which will take place when?
Soon.
Soon. Did you see that? Soon. This will happen soon. When is Jesus Christ coming back? Some versions say soon, okay? Some say quickly, all right? We could go into a study of that word and how it means something else, but the final outcome of that is the same. He's coming soon or he's coming quickly. All right? These things will soon take place, and Jesus is coming quickly. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. He said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." So John makes a mistake here, starts to worship the angel that was sent to show the people these things. Interesting thing that happens here. This actually happened back in chapter 19. It says that he did this as well. In fact, I wonder, is he actually just restating that here at the end? He just wants everyone to know, you know what, it's me, John, just normal old John, and I made a mistake. I started worshiping this angel because he was so great or something. I don't know. I got caught up in the moment, and I made a mistake. I tried to worship him, but the angel has a great answer here. We can learn a lot about angels right here in this. Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours. This angel, although this angel must have been pretty powerful, must have been great. I mean, John's about to worship him. He says, no, I'm a servant. And not only a servant of God, but who does he say he's a servant of? He says, John, I'm your servant. I'm here to help you out, okay? You're the one writing the Revelation here. God's the one giving this message to you. I'm just here to serve you, and I'm a servant of your brothers, the prophets. Do you see again how the angel is putting John and the book of Revelation at the same level as the prophets, okay, together? And in my mind, I just see once again the prophets, Revelation. I'm thinking the whole Bible here. I'm thinking about God's word. And he's saying, I'm just a servant to help give this of you, your brothers, the prophets. You know, it's interesting. Maybe this same angel was there talking to the prophets long ago, too. Interesting. And you know, this angel is a servant of John's, his brothers, the prophets, and who else? And of those who keep the words of this book. The words of this book. This book is mentioned again. Do you see how this passage is a lot about God's word? I realized while I was studying this. This is all about the book of Revelation and how it is right from God and how it's the same level as the prophets, which makes me think the whole Bible is the very word of God and how important it is. Blessed are those who keep the prophecy of this book. And angels, what do angels do? They're servants of the ones who keep this book, who keep the words of this book. It's very important. Do you keep the words of this book? Do you read your Bible? Do you at least try to obey what it says to do? Is there some outcome in your life as a response to what you're reading there? Well, this angel says, I'm here to serve you too. That's kind of an exciting thought. What do angels do? They're servants of God, and apparently they serve us as well, and they help us with these things. And I think they help us a lot with God's word and things like that. What's the angel's final statement? Worship God. Two words. Pretty good statement, isn't it? Worship God. And the angel was right on. We don't worship angels, do we? There's some people who do. Some people get caught up in that. We don't worship angels. We don't worship saints. We don't worship Christians who are great Christians who died long ago. We do not worship them. We don't worship anyone or anything other than God himself. We worship God. You know, I was thinking that's a great statement there, worship God. I was really excited to listen to a message from John Piper on this passage. He's going to be great, and I'm going to learn so much that I could share with you guys. It was supposed to be this whole passage, and of course, John Piper, he didn't talk about the whole passage. He only talked about two words, and guess what they were? Worship God. And of course, he's got a long sermon about that, which we could talk forever about. If I could give everyone in the whole world two words to do for the rest of your life and for eternity, that I think would be pretty good words, these might be the ones. Worship God. Everybody, just go worship God all day, every day. And I think you'll be doing pretty well. And I think your eternity, you won't regret any moment of that. Worship God. Very good advice. I see a warning here as well. John, one of the last apostles, wrote part of the New Testament, was considered a leader in many of the churches in the area, probably those seven churches and perhaps even more, considered himself a father. Many people considered themselves kind of a father of the faith. Do you think he knew his doctrine pretty well? Do you think he was pretty well grounded? I mean, he knew Jesus personally, had talked to him even later. The guy, John, was a wise man, a godly man, full of the Holy Spirit, surely. Just great in every way. Do you find it odd that he started to worship an angel? It just seems odd to me. Why, John, what are you thinking here? Kind of a big mistake. And you know, I don't know what was going on. Caught up in the moment, maybe the angel was really impressive, maybe he looked like Jesus, I don't know what was going on, but he started to worship him. And the angel realized, that's a big mistake, John, don't do that. Worship God. It shows me that someone can know their doctrine really well, be very well grounded in the word, about as close to Jesus as you could be, and still make mistakes, and still worship someone other than God. So we should probably all take that as a warning. Maybe there are some things sometimes where we could get a little confused, and we get so excited about angels or something else, and we actually start to worship them, and maybe we need to remember what the angel said. He said, nope. Worship God, period. He said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Do not seal this up. These are similar words to the book of Daniel. Anyone remember the end of the book of Daniel? What Daniel was supposed to do with his prophecy? He wrote the things down, but remember what God said through an angel to Daniel. I wonder if it was the same angel here. Remember what he said? He said, seal this up for the time of the end, for the time is not at hand yet. So he was supposed to seal it up. God would take care of wherever that was and keep it safe until the time when others would be able to use it. Like us today, we read the book of Daniel. Well, this is not the case here. He says, don't seal it up. Don't do what Daniel did. I want you to get this out to everybody. As soon as you get this written down, send it to the churches. Make copies of it. Get the word out. People need to hear this. Do not seal it up. Why? Because the time is near. The time is near. Hey, church, I have another question for you. Yell out the answer. He wasn't supposed to seal up the words because the time is?
Near.
Near. Do you see something recurring here in this passage? The things which must soon take place. Jesus says, I am coming quickly, and we're warned that the time is near. The revelation is all about this, being ready. The time is near. We need to know that these things are going to happen soon. Don't seal these up. We can learn a lesson there too. Should we be getting the word out as well? Do people need to hear this stuff still today? In Yakima, Washington, all over the world, they sure do. Don't seal your Bible up. Don't go home and put it on the shelf and open it again next Sunday. Keep it open. Read it. Talk about it. Pray. pray about it, discuss it with other people, try to share it in any way that you can. We don't want to seal this up. The time is near. People need to hear this word. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. The one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. This is an odd statement here. There are many interpretations of this. I'm just going to point out two things, and then I'll let you decide where to go from there about that. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. The Bible never tells people to do wrong, and that's a good thing. So if your interpretation has to do with saying that wrong is good, then that's not wrong. That's a bad interpretation. I think what's really important here is context. Whenever you get to a passage in the Bible that's hard to figure out, read the context before and after and see. And what have we been talking about? The Word of God has been throughout this passage. Every verse we read, it's all about the Word of God. Don't seal it up. In fact, it just said right before this, it says don't seal up the prophecy of this book because the time is near. Get the word out to everyone. Everyone needs to know this book. Why do they need to know this book? Well, one thing that the book tells us is what is wrong and what is right. What is wrong? You know, when I see let him who does wrong still do wrong, and I think about the people out in the world, are there people that are doing wrong and they think that it's right? Or they're saying that it's right and telling others that it's right? Are there people that don't know what's right? Is right and wrong kind of hard to actually figure out sometimes for people out there? It is. Again, there's so much information out there, so many different opinions. I mean, if you go Google what is right and wrong, what are you going to find out? I don't think you should do that. It would probably be bad. Don't do it. How do we know what's right and wrong? And you know, and I'm not just thinking about horrible stuff. There's probably Christians and well-meaning people who are totally confused as to what is right and wrong. If you want to know what is right and wrong, where do you go to? I keep holding this up. Bible, Bible, everybody, the Bible. Go to the Bible. That's how we know what is right and wrong. How do we know what is filthy? God says that we've all done wrong. He says sin is wrong. If you need to know what sin is, read the Bible. And it says that we're all filthy. When he looks at us in our sin, we're filthy in sin. That is wrong and filthy. Sin is, and it needs to be taken care of. So anyway, this passage is largely about the Bible, the Word of God, and it's what helps people understand what is wrong and what is filthy. Also, what is righteous? What's a good thing? What is a righteous person? That might even be a bigger question these days. Are there people who appear to be really good to other people? Maybe a righteous person, but they're horrible, doing wrong, and they're filthy? Sure, we got to go by God's standard, which is in the Bible, and it's right here. The Bible tells us what is righteous and what is holy, and we got to stick with that. You know, it might be good for someone who doesn't know to read the Bible and realize what they're doing is wrong. You know, that's a good thing because then they can repent. Then they can ask God for forgiveness and turn to him and they can become righteous like the Bible says righteousness is and holiness. So anyway, we need to not seal up our Bibles. We need to keep the word out there so we know what wrong and right is, so we know what righteous and holy actually is too. One more point that a couple commentaries pointed out about this passage. Maybe it's talking about the eternal state. Maybe it's talking about heaven and hell as well. Let him who is wrong do wrong. Him who is filthy still be filthy. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, if you're not forgiven by God, which he was willing to do, he would love to forgive you, but you have to ask that. If you haven't done that, then you are labeled as a wrongdoer. You are a sinner. You are filthy. And unfortunately, you have to be that way for the rest of eternity. You will continue to do wrong, and you will have no chance of doing what's right. Right now in this world, people might say, I'm doing wrong, and I don't care. I'm bad, and that's not a big deal. Well, God's so gracious, and he's nice to so many of us here on the earth. For eternity, it won't be that way. Those people will they will wish they could go back and change that. But they will continue to be a wrongdoer and filthy for the rest of eternity. And maybe that is part of the punishment of hell. Also, and this is a great thought here too that I really hadn't thought about before, how great of a blessing it's going to be for those who are saved. God labels us as righteous in heaven. We're righteous people. We're going to be righteous, holy people in heaven. And that's a great thing. You know, in heaven, we don't have to struggle with our thoughts. You know, this thought I'm having, is it good or bad? It's going to be good. It's going to be a righteous, holy thought all the time. Isn't that great? That's going to be so peaceful, so freeing from that sin. It's going to be wonderful. Maybe one of the blessings of heaven is that we truly are righteous, not just a label of righteous, but we are righteous. All of our being, all of our thoughts and words and actions are righteous and holy. And that is a far cry from this world, isn't it? That's going to be wonderful. So maybe it's talking about that. I tend to wonder if it's kind of a mixture of both of those things. Behold, remember that means wake up, everybody, and listen. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to reward each one as his work deserves. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Didn't we already read this earlier? We did. Same words. Jesus says it again. Remember, what's the point of Revelation? To show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. We need to know this. We need to know that he's coming back quickly. Last time he said, blessed are those who keep the prophecy, the words of the prophecy of this book. This time he says something similar. He says, my reward is with me to reward each one as his work deserves. That's a good verse to put up on your mirror in the morning, isn't it? Or in your car. Or a good verse to think about each day. Jesus is coming quickly, and his reward is with him. Is that a good thing? Or is that a rough thing? What have I done lately? What have I done with my life? What kind of reward is there going to be for me? Interesting thought. Might actually affect how you plan out your day and the things that you do. Jesus is coming quickly. He could come soon, anytime, and his reward is with him. You know, I've done a lot of good things. I did a few bad things. I don't think anyone knows about those things, though. So it's probably all going to work out, right? Right? Is that okay? Does Jesus really know everything? Well, do you notice the next verse? I am the Alpha and the Omega. Wait a minute. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He knows everything. He is everything. He is everywhere. He was there before the beginning that you could even imagine, and he will be there in the end, and he knows everything in between. Knows everything about you, every thought you've ever had, every word you've ever said. He is coming quickly, and his reward is with him. Something to think about. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life, and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who... Apparently some got changed in the PowerPoint there. Everyone who loves and practices lying. So here we have it again. Like I said in this passage, it jumps from one subject to the next. Here we're jumping back to the eternal state, heaven and hell. Here it's talked about as a city and reminiscent of the first five chapters that we looked at last week. Blessed are those who are in the city, who wash their robes, so they have the right to that tree of life that we talked about last week, and they may enter the city by the gates. Outside of there are the dogs. And we're not talking about physical dogs. We're talking about people here. But all these words describe these people, the dogs. These are considered to be really bad people, really terrible people. Dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral persons, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. These are terrible people, aren't they? Boy, isn't it going to be good that they're outside of the city, outside of those gates? keep those evil people away from those good people inside. Terrible people. You know, that was like my first thought when I read this, and probably a lot of us when we first read it, we kind of think that. But wait a minute. What does the Bible say about these things? What did Jesus say about these things? The sexually immoral persons. You know, Jesus said, you know, have you ever had thoughts about people, immoral thoughts that were bad, and you entertained those thoughts? He said, you know what? You've broken God's law there. You're a sexually immoral person. Murderer, I'm not a murderer. Isn't it good that the murderers are going to be outside the gates? Well, what did Jesus say about that? You ever had unrighteous anger towards someone and you held that for a long time? He said, you know, it's the same as murder. You're a murderer. Idolaters, I don't bow down to idols. I've never done that. Those people are going to be outside there. I'm glad I'm going to be on the inside. Well, have you ever put anything before God in your life? Have you ever given all your time and resources and thoughts towards something else and put it up on a pedestal higher than God in your life? You're an idolater. And everyone who loves and practices lying. You ever lied? Ever lied a lot? Ever made a big lie and it became a big part of your life? Folks, this is us, isn't it? You know, at first thought, those evil people are outside, but the Bible says, God says, the words of the prophecy of this book says that it's all of us. We all deserve to be on the outside. According to God's true word and what Jesus said to help explain that, and the Holy Spirit helps us understand these things too, we're all immoral people. We've murdered, we're idolaters, we're liars, we're sinners. None of us deserve to be in heaven. That's why this verse 14 is so wonderful. Take a close look at verse 14, the first one there. What is the one difference between the people on the inside and the people on the outside? At first, you might think they're the good people on the inside. You know, it doesn't say that. What's the one difference? There's only one difference between the people on the inside and the people on the outside. Take a close look. You don't yell it out, but I just want you to think about that. What is the difference? The people in heaven for eternity, the people who will not be. What is the one difference there? Blessed are those who wash their robes. Who wash their robes. The Bible says we're all filthy. We all don't deserve to go to heaven. We all deserve to go to hell and be punished for eternity. And that would be right. That would be the right thing for all of us, no matter how good you think you are or how good you can make yourself look in front of other people. God knows everything. He knows you're a sinner, and you deserve his punishment. Again, it's the words of this book that tell us that. That's the truth, and his words are faithful and true. And if you never take care of that, you will have to go to hell, and you'll be there for eternity. And that's a sad thing. But you know what? I'm so thankful that God sent his angel to tell us these things, that you know what? There's another way. You can have your robes washed clean. The Bible tells us, because of our sin, we're filthy, we're dirty, we don't deserve to be with him in heaven. It just wouldn't be right. But God loves us so much that he decided to take care of that and make a way for us to be clean, have our sin taken care of. The Bible tells us Jesus came to earth. The same Jesus talking in these passages here. He came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins. He took the punishment that we deserve. We deserve the hell, the punishment forever. He took it when he died on the cross. He was buried in the ground and he rose again 3 days later. He's now alive today. He's the Jesus we're talking about here in Revelation, very powerful. And he says, anyone who believes in him, if you believe that you're a sinner, you're a filthy sinner who doesn't have the right to heaven. If you admit that to God and ask forgiveness, then he can wash your robes clean. And then you have a right to the tree of life. You may enter the city by the gates. Not because you're a great person, unlike those people out there. It's because you admitted that you were a sinner and you asked forgiveness. And God loves you and he's willing to forgive. So the big question here is, have you washed your robes clean? The question isn't, are you a good person? If you're thinking at all that heaven and hell is about putting your good stuff and your bad stuff on a scale, there's nothing like that in the Bible, folks. It's not true. Those words are not faithful and true. God says, you're all sinners. The scale, don't worry about the scale. You're just all a sinner. You'll all lose on the scale. Forget that. You just need to admit that you're a sinner. And you need to ask forgiveness. And God says, amazingly enough, he is so great, full of grace and mercy, that he's willing to forgive. And you can have your robes washed clean. You can have a right to the tree of life. You can look forward to all the things that we talked about last week in the first five verses of this chapter. And now you'll be with him in heaven. If you never turn to him and you never do, then you're not heeding the words of this book. You're ignoring what the angel came to tell us, and you will have to deal with that for eternity, and you won't be with him. I hope your robes are washed clean. If they're not, if you're not sure about that, do it. Why would you wait? Because when is Jesus coming back, everybody?
Soon.
Soon. When is Jesus coming back?
Soon.
Soon, or quickly, yeah. Either one. These things must soon take place. They have to take place soon. Jesus is coming soon. The time is near. It's very clear in this passage. Now is the time to think about these things. Now is the time to be ready. He's coming soon. Remember, read your book. Heed the words of the prophecy of this book. Don't put it down and seal it up this week. Take it out and read it and use it and be ready for the Lord's return. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you are a merciful, gracious God, even though none of us deserve to be in heaven, Lord, that you made a way for us to have our robes washed clean. Thank you for telling us about these things before they happen so that we can know, so that we can plan for it, and help us, Lord, to be people that do heed the words of the prophecy of this book. Help us to read, understand your word, to know you better, Lord, and to tell other people about it, even this week, Lord, and we do say, come, Lord Jesus, come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.